As a young child, it became confirmed in my mind that being Muslim meant that I was a terrorist. It was a source of ridicule, and I would really want to deviate away from those people and act extra white next to my friends. I abandoned my race, my religion, my faith, my God, to the point now that I'm literally reading the Quran. My mom used to make me read that when I was a child, and you know, I never really wanted to. I always like struggled or whatever. And now I've actively started reading it by my own accord.
Have you heard of the Save Iman Norway Masjid Project? Your brothers and sisters at IslamNet are establishing a one-of-its-kind masjid, dawah and community center in the capital of Norway. And they need our urgent support now. Click the button to donate and earn this tremendous reward, inshallah. And don't forget to share the video.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters and dear friends. I watched a video somebody sent me of a brother called Hamza. He's born as a Muslim and he became atheist. And in this video, he talks about his reflections about Andrew Tate and many other things. He is somebody who focuses on developing oneself and becoming the better version of yourself. And that is amazing. So there's some key things that he touched upon. Let's watch the video for ourselves and come back.
As a young child, it became confirmed in my mind that being brown was a bad thing. Being Muslim meant that I was a terrorist. It was a source of ridicule and bullying in school. Till eventually, I started adopting more of this like white British culture. But I never really fit in with the people here. But I also just see like this young boy who was so pressured by the society and the media around him that convinced him that being brown was a bad thing, that being religious was a bad thing, that being Muslim meant that you're a terrorist. And that's all I saw every single day on the TV, every single day hearing the news and everything, that okay, brown people are bad and you know, Muslims are terrorists. And so of course I didn't want to identify with that. When there would be like some kind of terrorist attack, I would literally personally feel shame and I would really want to deviate away from those people and act extra white next to my friends. I abandoned my race, my religion, my faith, my God.
So one of the things that he mentioned was what? That he hated being brown, he hated being a Muslim. And this is exactly one of the issues, subhanAllah, drive people away from Islam and the religion. Why? Because of the inferiority complex. Because sadly, like he said, the news outlets, etc., you know, Muslims will be dehumanized, etc. You want to de-associate yourself with it. And sadly, sometimes that is the case. And with this case, subhanAllah, even though that was the reason, but you can see that even popular influences like Andrew Tate and the likes, what happens is that when you see such people come to Islam, etc., it also boosts your confidence a bit and also to be a bit more comfortable and look into, you know, actually maybe I might have mistaken. So it just shows you how the dynamics in our society can have an impact on your decision-making factors, and which is another thing that Hamza mentions when it comes to freedom. Do we really choose?
Partying and drinking alcohol, enjoying yourself. I did all of that. You can literally see my journey through these hundreds of videos that I've made. You can see that this is real, that I indulged in that lifestyle. We have hundreds of videos of me in parties, hooking up with girls. I enjoyed that lifestyle, all that the godless West has to offer. And here I am today in front of you saying, it wasn't that great. Because once you've fulfilled all of these primal desires of yours, you're left with this spiritual numbness, this emptiness.
And this is one of the things that led me to Islam. I lived a very similar lifestyle to you, Hamza. Partying, girls, all that kind of stuff that you lived, I lived that lifestyle in and out. Partying, clubbing, different countries, you name it, you know. And it never brought me happiness. It never brought me happiness. You know, as men, like you said before, the opposite gender is because our biggest weakness. Partying, clubbing, trying to be cool, going gym, etc. I've done all of that. And to be honest, till this day, when it comes to personal development, training, boxing, jogging, all that kind of stuff, I like to keep myself fit. So alhamdulillah, we have a lot of similarities between myself and you. You know, mashallah, you're a handsome guy. I don't know if I'm as handsome as yourself, mashallah. But the thing is here that alhamdulillah, we have some similarities. One of the things that I noticed before I came to Islam was what? That I realized that one philosopher said this as well, that man is born free but in shackles everywhere. This concept that we think that we have a choice, that we choose. Yes, we believe in free will, that God Almighty has given free will, but we also believe in Qadr, that God Almighty has predestined everything. They work together. How, we don't know. But the point is this, I'm not talking about that. Our decision factors are influenced by our society. You know very well, and I know very well, the fact that you went to the gym is why? Because of the opposite gender. I'm sure at one moment of time, myself as well, I actually talk about this in my marriage documentary, is that there was a girl that I liked and I approached her. You know, I wasn't a Muslim then and I got rejected. And that made me feel like, you know what? I need to become the best version of myself. And it was kind of like a repayment thing. It's like revenge. It was many factors that played a role in me developing myself, bodybuilding, going to the gym, boxing, physical appearance, the clothes that I wear, to the money that I earn, etc., played a massive factor. Because that energy that I took, that rejection, which is, you know, as men, we get kind of rejected a lot, which is a part of the game. But the point is this, and I'm not proud of any of this, just giving you guys a reminder. It's this energy that makes you go and do certain things you do not want to do. And that is exactly what Hamza was talking about. And I knew that these factors that I had and I was living by were not my choice. I did that because my society pushed me into. And I would go to nightclubs and I would wear certain clothing that I was absolutely uncomfortable in. Just as girls go in these high heels and these dresses, etc., they are freezing. Why do they do it? Because they look good in it. The same way I would have a specific jumper that I would go to a nightclub because I believed I looked good in it. But I hated it so much. It was so uncomfortable. Why did I do it? Out of choice or coercion? It was absolutely coercion because I believed I could look good in it. Get my haircut every week. You know, it's expensive because I look good. That is the point, guys. And that's exactly what Hamza's talking about when it comes to choice. You do not have a choice. These society implement forces you to do things you don't want to do. And then you're told, if you're told how to think, how could you ever say you have a choice? That is the point. Now, Hamza talks about developing yourself, your character, your income, etc. Now, this is well and good. Hamza, I want you to realize something, my brother, because you're reading the Quran now. Alhamdulillah, I'm really happy. May Allah bless you and keep you firm, inshallah. As your brother, we're here for you. You know, off camera, if you want anything, get in contact with me. I'm at your service. If there's any questions you have, you can watch my debates and discussions I have with Christians, atheists. Maybe that can help you as well. Look at the effort that we give to our appearance, yeah? Our body. I know if you're bodybuilding, you're going to be what body you're training, yeah? How long you need to train it? How many sets you need to do? You don't do the same workout again because it doesn't have the same effect on the muscle growth, yeah? You need to change it up a bit. The food that you eat to the time you sleep, yes? Everything is calculated. Why? Just to keep the body in shape. And the very same body which is going to decay in our grave. What about the soul? What is the food for the soul? The food for the soul is no other than but the remembrance of Allah. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Only in my remembrance do hearts find peace. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you forget my remembrance, you'll have a depressed life. That's why no woman, cars, money, none of them did it for you. Just the way it didn't do it for me. Because there comes a point you become desensitized to girls. You become desensitized. Just like, and this is something to be ashamed of. It's not something I'm trying to mention like I'm proud of. It just shows you guys that as non-Muslims, when we live this lifestyle, wallahi, it will never bring you happiness. And the point is this, my brother Hamza. Wallahi, you will only find true happiness and the sweetness of faith when you turn to Allah. And the effort that we give to our body and the effort we give to prove people, to prove stuff to people, whatever it may be, from the lifestyle that we live into, the stuff that we drive, whatever it may be, if only we focus that energy to the one who created us, if we give all that effort to our bodies and the people that we want to help, whatever it may be, yeah, or prove to, what about the one who created us and perfected us and sustains us till this very day? Even when you as an atheist, you're coming and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah you come to Islam. Even in this journey, bro, Allah carried on providing for you. Allah carried on looking after you. This is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He is the most merciful, the very merciful. And He wants nothing but Jannah for you. And that's what Allah says in the Quran in Surah Ali Imran. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and day, there are signs for those who have intellect. Those who ponder and think, well, hold on a second, this cannot come from nothing. All this cannot be from nothing. It has to be from somewhere. And that's what I can see in you, this awakening. You know, we can see that you are waking up to this reality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Tur, is it that they are created by none? Or are they themselves the creators? Or have they created the heavens and the earth? No, but they are sure of nothing. And every time I have a debate with atheists, they end up saying, I don't know. I don't know. We just don't know. Every single time. Watch my debate. And the very powerful verse which I'm going to end in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is so, so powerful. Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardi wajala adh-dhulumati wan-nur ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن طِينٍ ثُمَّ قَضَى أَجَلًا وَأَجَلٌ مُّسَمًّى عِندَهُ ثُمَّ أَنتُمْ تَمْتَرُونَ وَهُوَ اللَّهُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّكُمْ وَجَهْرَكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُونَ وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا أَنْهَا مُؤْرِدِينَ فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوا بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِيهِمْ أَنْبَاءُ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِيُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all praises belongs to Allah who created the heavens and the earth and made darkness and light. Yet those who disbelieve equate others with their Lord. He is the one who created you from clay and destined the term. The fixed term lies with Him, yet you are in doubt. He is the true God in the heavens and the earth. He knows what you conceal and what you reveal, and He knows what you earn. Yet whenever a sign from the sign of their Lord comes to them, they do nothing but turn away from it. So they rejected the truth when it came to them. Now there shall come to them a full account of what they used to ridicule.
You are always worshipping something. If you're an atheist, which I am, so I'm not being hateful or anything, but I am too. But if you're an atheist and you don't believe in God, you're still worshipping something. You still have some kind of God, okay? It's not a religious God. It's not the God from the Bible. It's not Allah. But you still worship something. You know, I carry this concept. I hope this makes sense. I carry this concept in my mind, okay? You're always worshipping something. Religious people worship a God and a holy book. Atheists, what do they worship?
My brother Hamza, like you said before, atheists also believe in God. All they do is just give God's attributes and credit to Mother Nature, evolution, randomness, Big Bang. These are the things that created us. This is the greatest oppression against God. The one, imagine, who caters and provides for us and looks after us and gives us everything and wants paradise for us. We turn around our back to him and we insult him and we give what is due to him to others. And that's why you speak to atheists. They give that credit to all of these entities. Yes, these things, which none of them deserve to be God and never can be God.
To the point now that I'm literally reading the Quran. My mom used to make me read that when I was a child and, you know, I never really wanted to. I always like struggled or whatever. And now I've actively started reading it by my own accord. And I called my mom 2 days ago and told her, and I just saw like the biggest smile on her face when I told her that I started reading, you know, our holy book. And she just got like so happy. She told me it was the right thing. She told me that this, you know, this was the way forward.
I ask you, my brother Hamza, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you and myself, that this path that you've started by reading the Quran, indeed the Quran is a light. Indeed the Quran is a guidance. You've started in the most beautiful place, Akim. Please make dua. Before I came to Islam, I made this dua. Make dua and say, oh Allah, if you are there, please guide me. If this is the truth, show me signs and guide me. Till next time, brothers and sisters, send this to brother Hamza, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him. And if you need any information, if you want to get in contact, I'm free for you. We can go eat something, inshallah, if you're in London or wherever. Till next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Have you heard of the Save Iman Norway Masjid Project? Your brothers and sisters at Islamnet are establishing a one-of-its-kind masjid, dawah and community center in the capital of Norway. And they need our urgent support now. Click the button to donate and earn this tremendous reward, inshallah. And don't forget to share the video.